attention, please. You have 10 minutes to drink up and then get the hell out of here.
The owner, she's a friend of mine, she's a taproom queen. Come on over, baby, let's go see Maxine and do that taproom boogie.
Taproom boogie.
Oh, taproom boogie.
Taproom boogie.
We'll do the taproom boogie, boogie, woogie all night long.
9:43 on a gorgeous fallback Sunday morning, the beginning of standard time. Getting some legal advice on comparing ultra-liberals to Nazis, maybe, you know. I'm no...
The Nazis were insulted.
I was the guy up in Northeast Arkansas. Well, let's ask Jason Tolbert. If you're a fan of politics and you don't go to the to ToLbertReport.com, T-O-L-B-E-R-T-Report.com, I go 3 or 4 times a day. I'm not kidding, Jason. Just so I can know what's going on.
But it's good to know somebody else is as compulsive as I am, Bill.
Well, you do, exactly. I mean, I've been around you, and you've been around me, and you're right. It is a mass of compulsive energy that is constantly. Well, I wonder if anything's happened now. What's going on now?
Something's got to be going on.
Refresh, refresh.
My favorite is on election day when you have like 12 hours of nothing going on,
yes,
and everybody desperate for information.
Mm. That's what's funny because election night, I will be on KARK, KARZ. KPBJ, some kind of website. I don't even know what that is, but well, let me ask you straight off. Let's focus on Arkansas first. Is this an election cycle that will see Arkansas Republicans win control of the House and the Senate on the state level?
Yeah, I was talking last night. I was telling my wife, on election night, we're either going to see, number one, we're going to see Republicans win big, or number two, we're going to see Republicans win huge. So that's really only two questions.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you with a high degree of certainty, you're going to see Mitt Romney win the state 20, maybe even 25 points over Obama. And then you're going to see Republicans win all 4 congressional districts by huge margins. So when you have voters voting that heavily Republican at the top of the ticket, it's going to be extremely hard for Democrats to get voters to switch when they get to the next two races, the state Senate and the state House. And so what I think you're going to see is for the first time, the trend Arkansas has been going for the last 20 years, which has been voting, you know, Republican in the last, I don't know how many elections with the exception of Bill Clinton on the national level, that's going to finally bleed down into these state legislative races.
Do you see the switch, or maybe it's a percentage of both that I'm about to ask you, is it more a drag that President Obama has on the Democratic Party here in Arkansas, or is it more of fundamentally Republican ideals emerging with the independents and them leaning this way, or is it a combination of both?
It's a combination of both. I think that President Obama has poured some gas on the fire that was already burning. Really, to credit the Democrats in this state, they've put off this tidal wave happening the last 10 years or so by having some really strong personalities in the party, such as Bill Clinton, such as Mike Beebe. We've seen this trend already take place in all of our neighboring states, all of our surrounding states. So what's happening now in Arkansas is Arkansas is finally catching up to the Republican tidal wave that's already swept across the South. And so we're really seeing a realignment take place, and the Democrats are not really able to hold back that tidal wave any longer. That dam's not breaking.
Do you think did the Democratic Party of Arkansas make a fundamental mistake a year ago, year and a half ago, when Governor Beebe had a campaign surplus, gave it to the Democratic Party of Arkansas, and they spent it on opposition research and some sort of small messages targeted to try to influence voters at the local level, as opposed to rebranding the Democratic Party of Arkansas, moving away from the president, distancing themselves as much as possible from the president? Because in the end, no matter what they're able to say about local candidates, the hatred, but the intense dislike for this president overwhelms any message that's presented at the local level against Republican candidates.
Yeah, you know, I think honestly, I think they played the hand they were dealt. It's a difficult position for them to be in to say, you know, I think they ran a radio ad just this past week saying Arkansas Democrats are different from Washington Democrats.
Right.
That's a hard case to make. I mean, when you're almost having to apologize for, I'm so sorry I'm a Democrat, I'm different from other Democrats, I mean, that's tough. That's a tough sell. So, you know, they spent, about $800,000 or so on opposition research.
Yeah.
I don't know any other political strategy they could have gone with besides that. I mean, here's the other thing. It worked extremely well for Mike Beebe's campaign in 2010.
Right.
I mean, they were able to just demoliate Jim Keat by using this strategy.
And I like that word, demoliate. I'm stealing that one from you from now on. I'm using that with Brantley in the next hour.
Well, maybe you can demoliate Brantley.
That's not just a show, Jason. It's a showdown.
That's epic.
Thank you, Jim Rome. Anyway, I'm sorry I interrupted. You were making a very salient point.
I already forgot what it was.
Exactly.
But that strategy worked very well for him with Governor Beebe's campaign. And so I think they're trying to take that really almost and use it as a cookie-cutter model on these state legislative races. And I don't think it's going to work. I can't really criticize them for doing it because I don't know what else they would have done.
Right.
I mean, you can say, well, they could have, you know, criticized the president. They could have said that they were different. But then you come back to the question, well, why are you a Democrat then if you disagree with your party so much?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is a catch-22. They can't run away from the party at the national level. And then still proclaim to be a part of it. So you either become a Federalist or a Whig or something. You know, you become one of many other parties. Let me pivot then away from state legislative races, which I think will be. Well, one more question I want to get in.
Yeah.
After seeing the governor take an active role in campaigning, seeing the party be Democratic Party be as aggressive at the local level, really hammering the Republican candidates on some issues at the local level, and these guys win, and you have Republican majorities in the House and the Senate, shouldn't we expect a little payback? Shouldn't we expect it to be a little contentious? I mean, how can somebody who's been hammered by the Democratic Party and the governor, that person win and then come down here and feel a sense of calm working with the people that really tried to take his head off politically?
Sure. I think this next legislative session, assuming Republicans win and take the majority, and I have no doubt that they will do that in both chambers, you're going to see one of the most interesting legislative sessions we've ever seen. You're right. You're going to have that dynamic there where you've had, you know, the incumbent governor just beat him over the head during campaign season, make no effort to play nice during campaign season. You're going to have probably a record number of freshman legislatures that are trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. State government, I mean, it's a complicated process just making the trains run on time.
Very much so.
And these guys are going to be down there. And the thing I think you've noticed this as well, we've seen the state legislature since term limits have kicked in. You've got legislatures down there who the most experience they have is maybe 6 years or 8 years under the veterans, and you've got a state bureaucracy that they have 20 or 30 years of experience.
Right.
And so when it comes to budgeting, when it comes to funding issues, it's going to be one for the ages to watch. I'm not even sure how it's going to play out. And you've also got the thing where Republicans, it's finally going to be the dog finally catches the car.
Right.
And what are they going to do once they finally get a hold of this thing? Chasing it's one thing. Once you finally catch it, and you're responsible, and you're having to govern, they're going to have a big spotlight on them as to how they're going to proceed.
That's a great point. That's an excellent point. I do think it's interesting too that when you hear people scream about partisan politics and we don't want Washington style politics in. I'm very fond of telling people, you know, Joseph Stalin had no real dissent in his administration. Everybody loved Joseph Stalin right up until they didn't. And it's always the party in power that doesn't want to, you know, bring that, oh, we don't need that kind of stuff, when in reality, that's actually good for the process.
Sure.
It's good to have
that. So. And I think it's a very healthy thing for the executive branch of the government to have a healthy conflict with the legislative branch of the government. I mean, you're seeing, even right now with a robust minority, you're seeing a lot more questions get asked, a lot more things get flushed out that in the past probably would have got worked out behind the scenes. No one would have ever seen the sausage being made.
Right.
And you know, it's gonna be fascinating to watch how that ends up playing out. What we've had the last few sessions, really, and this is, it's still gonna sound harsh, but I don't mean this as bad a criticism as it sounds. A lot of Democrat state legislatures come to the Capitol. They may have one issue, one or two pet projects they really want to see passed, they really want to see through. Other than that, they're fine just going with the flow.
Right.
You know, this is what Mike Beebe's agenda is. This is what we're going to vote for. And they really have pretty good party discipline in voting as a block for these different agenda items.
Right, right.
And now that the party that doesn't hold the governor's office is going to be in power, you're not going to have that anymore. And so it's going to be interesting to see how the Republican leadership goes in and tries to set that tone for getting their members now to vote along with a certain legislative agenda package.
Shifting gears,
yep.
Give me a prediction on medical marijuana.
And
do you like my idea? I think, and I don't want to reach out to the people to try to do this, but put it on the ballot in every southern state and just say, this is a way to keep our football players from being eligible. I mean, this is how we keep them from being suspended. Let's just make it legal. Tyrann Mathews playing last night. LSU probably wins.
Well, you know, football is always going to be bigger than politics.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, that's just a fact. Let's not pretend here. Now, I think that was going to be defeated pretty handily. It was close. We polled that one, I think, back in July, and it was, I think, 47-46, maybe barely in favor. But now that people have had a chance to really look at the language, there's a lot of problems with it.
Yeah.
A lot of medical groups have come out against it. We've seen a lot of the people in the state government come out against it, saying it's going to be problematic. The law enforcement agencies come out against it.
Right.
And so, you know, when it comes to an issue like that, when the people that I trust, the law enforcement officials, the doctors, those people are telling me, we don't need it, we don't want it, that makes people vote against it. And I think that's really going to push it to where it's not going to pass. And when you really look at it, the people who are spending the money on this thing, they're the national groups that basically they want to legalize marijuana.
Right.
That's
right.
The people paying the money. And so that's really this law will not do that, but that's the overall goal of the people who are paying for this project.
Right. These are baby steps here initially in the state and some other states to project ahead in 6-8 years, something like that. Okay, I'm going to predictions. Give me a total number of Republicans on November the 7th that will be in the state House of Representatives and the state Senate. 100 total House members, 35 total senators. Tell me how many will be Republican.
In the Senate, I think you're going to see 22 Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Could be as high as 24, 25, mm-hmm. but I think you'll see at least 20. I guess we'll fall at 22. In the House, I think it's going to be right at the 60 mark.
And give me – I'm just going to ask you head up. Romney, Ryan, Obama, Biden, who pulls it out? Because right now I think we could have three states fall into mandatory recounts on the 6th.
Yeah, I agree. I just got out of Florida. Mm-hmm. I've been there the last week, and I can tell you Romney's going to win Florida by a huge margin. Ohio, I think, is going to determine who our next president is.
Right.
I think Romney wins Ohio with the squeaker. I think it all comes down to independents. If he does very well with independent voters, and the polls are showing that he's going to, Democrats are not going to be able to beat him on turnout, and he wins Ohio in a squeaker.
Jason Tolbert, if you want to know about Arkansas politics, ToLbertReport.com. I'm not kidding. I go 2 or 3 times a day.
And you also visit his website.
Over here.
Ow.
He's doing material on me all of a sudden, Jason. I didn't know. I'm the straight man on this show.
Well, I will be listening for the epic showdown
yes.
in the next hour.
Yes.
I count on you to, you know.
We're turning the heat up.
We're turning the heat up here. It's not a show. It's a showdown. Jason, thanks, buddy. We want you back during the legislative session on kind of a regular basis if we can.
We'll do. It'll be fun.
Okay, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm not kidding, man. The guy has insight to state races and a local level especially. He's the go-to guy. He's kind of like the Cook Political Report in D.C., but it's in Arkansas. ToLbertReport.com is a must-read. And I do follow him on Twitter, too, because that's another thing. He'd be in the mix. Citizen Cope gets us out to break. Max Brantley coming down here to the studios. Although I got to tell you, this massive hole in the wall, which has some old, do you think they could get at least get a better sheet to cover it up with? This looks like it's straight out of a brothel over here. I mean, I can't even expose my friend Max Brantley to this kind of asbestos, insulation. This is a lawsuit waiting to happen. Max and I duke it out over R's versus D's in Arkansas and the nation after this.
The presidential election is almost here. There may only be a short window of opportunity left for gun owners. Max Prairie Wings has a nice selection of tactical weaponry. Semi-automatic weapons from $599 to $1,089. EOTech sights from $379 to $619. Suppressors starting at $249.99. So come to Max Prairie Wings in the heart of hunting country, Stuttgart, Arkansas. Time is limited, and so is this offer on tactical weapons.